It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. And a good Saturday morning to you. Larry Glass over to the microphone to answer your garden questions. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, another famous Charles.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Anyway, golly, lots going on this week. We've had some pretty good rain this last week, a little surprise storm or two.
Yes, last Saturday afternoon, I think locally it was like 2.38 inches in 1 hour or something like that.
Yes, but upcoming week it's going to be, like bone dry. But
yes.
But that's to be expected in our climate here, so make sure the sprinkler system is working. I've done some repairs on a few.
And I would assume that you probably have, but there are probably some others that maybe haven't been properly tested yet this
properly
year.
Properly tested, yeah, because we really haven't had to have them yet. I haven't. Hello.
Washed your tongue last night. Can't do a thing with it.
I haven't watered my lawn yet this year, so Mother Nature's done a very good job of that.
So far, so good. Yeah,
I did get it fertilized last week.
Okay.
And we can talk about that a little bit in the show, too. But anyway, at the nursery, it's time to check out some kaleidoscope abelias. I have a good supply of those.
Oh, the kaleidoscope. Yeah, that's a nice one.
It's an interesting plant. It's a very durable plant. No insects, no deer, nothing, and it survived the winter.
Mm-hmm.
This last winter real well. If you've watered things, as with about everything across the board, if you watered it, it survived.
If you didn't, it probably didn't.
It did.
Oh, okay.
Although somewhat of a fraction of its former self, but it came out okay, and they're doing fine. And also at the nursery, we have something interesting. Bush grape plants.
Bush grape plants?
Yes.
Okay.
Grape plants that are bush form, we'll put it that way.
As opposed to vine form,
As opposed to vine form. They're very compact, what we call a compact vine.
Okay.
And they're actually putting on some grapes at this point, so for sure, you have a glass or two of Chardonnay on the hoof when you get them.
Well, it may or may not be Chardonnay. It may be Pinot Noir, but either way, it'd be some nice grapes.
Well, sure. Yeah. Or Merlot, maybe, depending on the variety. But
yeah. Soil characteristics is definitely influence the taste and the amount of juice in a grape. Yeah.
Exactly. So make sure that it's a fairly loose soil that the roots can go ahead and exploit real well. Go to the Master Gardener's class on June and learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We can discuss that at the nursery too, should you elect to get one of these. It'd be kind of a fun thing. The advantage of it is that it's not a vining thing that grows all over the place. It's a bush form of grapes.
It would seem more easy to manage, but I'm guessing I have to. I hadn't really thought about this. Because it's a bush form, trimming it becomes more
less
crucial,
of a problem.
Yeah, more.
But yeah, it's kind of interesting. It'd be fun if anything. But anyway, we got a few of those to look at. We also have some regular vining grapes.
Okay.
So if you're into grapes, we got them.
You have probably both the red variety and the green variety of grapes,
sure.
I would assume.
Oh, yeah. They're kind of seedless, so they're kind of fun. And I've got some grapevines on my pergola in the back.
Oh, okay.
The mockingbirds simply love it.
Sure.
I've not gotten but a handful of grapes in the 10 years they've been there, but but it's fun anyway to see them up there and say, well, I've got grapes. And come back the next morning with your bucket and ready to climb the tree and
you
whatever.
Get two jars of jelly out of it,
And then there's nothing left. But a bunch of very happy birds. So, anyway, that's kind of what's going on at the nursery. We've got also a wide selection of annuals, and for Memorial Day, we have the living memorial containers,
okay,
which could be planted in the yard when you're done, or they can be taken out of the pot and planted, or you can just have them on the patio for color all summer long. So
either way, it's a great option.
Memorial containers. Also, in the parking lot as we speak is a brand new truckload of mulch. This is the bagged mulch.
Oh, okay.
So cedar mulch.
A truckload, I thought it was
only a gardener would be excited about a truckload of mulch. I mean,
yeah, I think I would agree with that statement.
So anyway,
we see it as a utility. You see it as something that creates beauty.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But and there's also a truckload of shrubs coming in, so it might be a little tight at first. But
okay. What type of shrubs?
Some from the local nursery, from Greenleaf.
Okay.
Just a various assortment of different shrubs to kind of fill in the inventory, so that's coming in too.
Great.
So we strive to keep a good selection of plants available at all times, really.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming in also. Don't let the heat scare you. The annuals love this weather. Most of the annuals people plant are tropicals,
mm-hmm.
and they tolerate the heat very well. And notice my petunias have been kind of on sitting in idle for a while until it started to really warm it up, and the blossoms started to grow a little bit, and there's taking off. The Bermuda grass, the same thing. It's just kind of... Now it's going to get hot and sunny with perfect weather for Bermuda grass. It'll really start growing.
And people's vegetable gardens will be thriving as well.
Yeah, the tomatoes are coming up real well. So things are coming around, and just because it's too hot for us doesn't necessarily mean the plants don't like that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
For the gardeners, drink an extra glass of water or two today.
I always hydrate before I go out and do the stuff. Last night I mowed the grass. Well, you know, not might, but...
Well, yeah.
After I got home, 7 o'clock when I got home.
Exactly.
From work,
still water, more than adequate light to see what you're
grass,
doing.
Yeah. You just have to make sure you're well hydrated before you go outside. It's very comfortable that way.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, oh golly, fruit trees. What should I be doing with my fruit trees now? Avoid systemic.
Keeping the birds off of them.
Yeah, I put bird netting up. I'll actually have some cherries this year.
Good.
So anyway, avoid systemic insecticides at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that into your. You don't want nicotinoids in your peaches and whatnot.
No.
Although there's several theories behind whether or not it even makes the past the abscission layer, but anyway, so just avoid that precautionary thing. Don't do that.
Okay.
Use neem oil for insects and fungus, and I like to use spinosad also for borers and other nasty little creatures that get on your fruit. Both of which are very safe to use. We have a caller.
We do have a caller, and good morning. You are up with Larry Glass. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Good morning. I have two crepe myrtles now. When they were done blooming,
right?
Time I went ahead and trimmed off those blooms like y'all said to.
Yep.
Now it's got stems that come up from the ground, and they almost look like they're dead. Now I don't know if they are or not. I mean, if I cut them back to a certain point, then they turn green on the inside.
Right.
So I don't think they're completely dead.
No, they're not. If there's green on there, you just give them a little bit of time. That's part of the agenda today to talk a little bit about crepe myrtles. But they're coming out kind of weird this year.
But they're shooting up from the bottom on both of them.
That's normal.
I'm just going to leave them alone, and I reckon that they'll fill all the way out, won't they?
Yeah, they should. If your top has died out a whole lot or completely, then you want to save anywhere from 3 to 5 of the healthiest trunks coming up, and that'll make you a new tree form, crepe myrtle, ultimately.
So cut back all the way down to 3 or 4 of them?
Yes. Yeah, keep the best looking ones there, and perhaps put them on opposite sides of the main trunk. Rather than having two on the same side, you might put three of them 120 degrees or apart, or five of them at 72 degrees apart, or whatever.
So all the old stalks you're talking about. Though,
right. Back. Yeah, the old stalk. And I'm talking about the new stalks coming up too. So.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Yep. I think crepe myrtles, since you're going to talk about that anyway, like you said, the ones that I've seen in the neighborhood are kind of odd this year.
Some of them, you get a whole row of them, and one of them just, are you going to live or what? And the rest of them are coming up just fine. So, really, when we had a drought, we had a rather severe drought this last winter.
Mm-hmm.
And some rather radical temperature changes over a fairly short period of time. It stresses the plants out.
Sure.
And the dormant tissues up in there just can't draw up enough water, I guess, to compensate for that. So they just kind of die off
right
a little bit. But crepe myrtles are very resilient. I was at a customer's house about a month ago. No evidence at all that the crepe myrtles are alive.
Hmm.
Now they're up about almost hip high. So it just depends. They grow so fast. You have so much of a root system at the base of the crepe myrtle, as it exists, if it died out on the top, that it will recover quickly. It will recover quickly from the winter damage, based on the size of the root system and its ability to feed that top. If you just tear it out and put a new one in, you got to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have a similar size crepe myrtle, really, as you did in a container plant in a very short period of time, and it'll actually outgrow a new plant.
Well, sure, because the root system is already well developed and has already done most of the work to exploit the available ground.
Exactly. So the basis for a rather large plant is basically there. It just has to grow into it on the top. It won't take very long.
And crepe myrtles, you said this in the past, when people cut them back, ideally you could cut them back just a portion, but if it die back was nearly all the way to the ground, yeah, it will come back from the ground.
That's another reason why I really like to wait until late April, 1st of May or so, to cut back the crepe myrtles, because you never know how far back they're going to die in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. And especially if you have a bad forecast for us in the winter, that does...
Well, I'm sorry I had to disappoint you with inadequate rainfall this year, but we're making up for it so far this spring.
Statistically, though, we will have a heavy snow this next coming winter.
I'll write
that down. Statistically,
so
we were going to have a heavy snow last winter.
Right.
But statistics are statistics. Yeah, a lot of variability. It could be we won't have one for another 10 years, but you never know. So, anyway.
Yes.
So, on your crepe myrtles, be sure to fertilize them. Use a well-balanced fertilizer. You might want to, at this point in time, you might want to emphasize a little bit of phosphorus in the soil.
Okay.
Unless your soil test came up with a high phosphorus content, which for the most part it does around here. Not every soil sample I see, we have adequate phosphorus. So really just a heavy application of phosphorus probably isn't necessary. And maybe that's why the crepe myrtles do so well when they bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Use a well-balanced fertilizer. Okay. We have a product called Southern Green Maker. It's got a little bit of nitrogen. Mm-hmm. A little bit more nitrogen and potassium in it, and a little low on the phosphorus. And that's one that we get just to react to the normal soil condition we have here. And it's got some iron and zinc and all that stuff in it, too.
But on the wider listening area, still it would be a good idea for listeners to get a soil sample, whether you use a test kit like what you might have for just the basics at the nursery, or whether they go through the extension service and get a more complete soil test just to see what they've got.
Right. A good way to tell is the diameter and the speed with which the stolons grow in your Bermuda grass.
Okay.
So, what? I have stolen Bermuda grass?
Who stole
my Bermuda grass?
I didn't see you steal that.
No, stolen is that little growth that crawls across the sidewalk. And if it's kind of thick and really healthy, it's either the variety of the Bermuda grass or you have a very adequate supply of phosphorus.
Okay.
If you have a hybrid Bermuda grass, it naturally will be kind of narrow. But if you have a native, there is no native Bermuda grass, but a kind of a wild Bermuda grass, and it's really thick and kind of fast growing, chances are you've got enough phosphorus. But if your Bermuda grass is kind of bunchy and kind of doesn't do much of anything, it might need some phosphorus too.
Okay. 800-749-5936, the telephone number to get to you on the air for Green Country Gardener. Locally, 918-336-1400. Larry Glass answering your questions on the garden line, and we'll continue coming up in just a bit.
Talking with Brent at United Rentals, you've also got generators?
Yep, generators for bad weather.
And chainsaws and pruner chainsaws as well, for you to be able to get up high if you don't want to go up in the cherry picker, but you still have some branches you want to trim.
Yep, we've got a long pruning saw. It's 14 foot. We've also got chainsaws if you need to trim some trees around your place. 3801 Southeast Nowata Road, 918-333-9580.
Springtime at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses means new hours, new shipment of plants, and discount Wednesdays. Green Thumb is now open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, and Sunday, noon to 5. And they are busy with new shipments of trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and herbs that are arriving each week. And during discount day every Wednesday, receive 10% off regular priced items. But only at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload. It's coming at me from all directions. And you know what? Bottom line, I just need the news that matters. So where do I turn? Local radio and TV. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town. They give me the real story with information I know I can rely on. So where else can I find out what's happening in my community? Weather and traffic, things that affect my family and my business. I want to stay informed by sources I trust. My local radio and TV stations. For the best entertainment, sports, news, traffic, and weather, with no agenda and more reliable than other platforms. So if you ask me, for the information I want anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local station. Text radio to 52886 today. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
The telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. No suspicion involved or superstition either way, but using science and tested methods to keep you a nice, green, colorful garden.
Okay, on pecans, for insect control, it's time to put out your pheromone traps for case bearers in the orchard mid-May and later on, and monitor regularly the first male moth capture. Monitor nuts for case bearer eggs, and they've got some stuff on their webpage about fact sheets on how to handle your I just touched on it on the show. You really need to go to the extension agent to get the gritty details.
Okay.
Scab spraying is a good time to do right now, and supplemental irrigation is needed. Mm-hmm. A mature pecan tree typically doesn't need supplemental irrigation. But anyway.
The key word there being mature.
And if you got baby trees, it's continue the training your baby, your small pecan trees.
Okay.
Good center leaders and all that. So, there's a little bit to do with that. And also, add zinc insecticide or add zinc to insecticide or fungicidal sprays. So continue with zinc sprays, too.
Okay.
So that's kind of what to do with pecans. So got to watch this time, I guess, to worry about those case bearer and all the other things. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's coming on the pecans. So that's what's coming up. In the vegetable garden, it's still time to plant warm season seeds. I planted some sunflower seeds last night. And this morning, they're 4 feet tall already.
Wow.
So, no, just kidding. But anyway, so you want to keep a growing cycle of, say, radishes or something in your garden,
mm-hmm.
so you don't run out. But anyway, they do mature at a time afterwards. And if you planted them all at once, well, you're going to run out of beets, or not beets, but radishes.
You can't run out of beets, sir. They just keep coming back. Yeah.
But things like beans, and so you want to do a little bit now, a little bit later, and so on, so you get a good crop going all the way through mm-hmm. through the summer. Your corn should be up pretty good right now. So that's, if you want corn on the cob by 4th of July, it better be up pretty good right now at this point.
Yes, Jeff.
So
corn on the cob by 4th of July would be unusual even around here.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Gypsum, if you've had a blossom end rot on your tomatoes historically,
mm-hmm.
yeah, perhaps you need to up the calcium content. Gypsum will do a good job of that, too.
Okay.
Get some good elemental sulfur and maybe a little Epsom salts because they like a pH of about 6.5, which is slightly acidic. So if you really want to be scientific about growing your tomatoes, you need to know what your soil is made of chemically. And the soil test will do that. Generally here, we're about 7.0 to 6.8, 7.0 to even 7.5 in some cases, soil in that range.
So taking the average, we need to amend the pH a little bit.
Right. Now, the pH scale is not a straight line scale. If I recall, it's exponential.
Well, logarithmic, I'm not sure.
Logarithmic. So it doesn't increase on a linear basis. One is X number of times more potent than the other and so mm-hmm. on. It's kind of like the earthquake scale, what do they call that? Seismic.
Richter, yeah.
Richter scale, that's the one, Richter scale, yeah. When we had our 3.0, nobody really knew about it, but 5.0, yeah, it really shaked, rattled, and rolled. So, so it does make a big difference on that.
Yep.
And the pH scale is kind of the same. So check out that if you've had problems with blossom end rot. It's just a good rule of thumb maybe to put some gypsum down just to keep it from happening.
Okay.
With the warmer weather coming on, we're going to see a lot of significant growth on our tomatoes. And so we should get a pretty good crop of tomatoes if it doesn't get too hot for too long.
So now particularly, and you should have probably already had it down, but a good layer of mulch for your tomatoes would be really important now.
The soil temperature is good and moist. I got a bale of straw and put it around my tomatoes. And the moisture level is real good. I don't have any weeds either.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked really quite well. So if you can get and I really like to find a source for some blocks of, the small bales of wheat straw somewhere.
Oh, okay.
If anybody knows of anybody. It's got some out there. I kind of need a couple bales of it just for my other vegetables too. So anyway, so mulch them in, and that'll keep your moisture level content. Keeping your moisture content is a good defense against cracking on your tomatoes too. What happens in cracking on the tomatoes is it gets kind of dry, and then the tomatoes don't have much water in them. And then, oh, I got a water. And the water just comes up, and it swells up faster than the skin will allow, and it cracks. Mm-hmm. Then you get bugs and fungus and stuff in there.
And the mulch will...
Good for rotten tomato throwing parties, but not really good to eat. So.
And the mulch will help keep that moisture level more constant.
Keep it more constant. Uh-huh. And as it gets really, really hot, I've seen some people have very good luck with their tomatoes if there's just a medium afternoon shade.
Oh, okay.
For instance, a thin growing tree on the west side, something like a water oak or a mimosa or something that doesn't have a heavy shade on the redbud tree will work on the west side of the tomato patch to give it a little bit of shielding in the afternoon, but not too heavy a shade. In other words, it should have some dappled light mm-hmm. under the tree.
Okay.
And you don't want to plant one that has an invasive root system, because you won't have any tomatoes because there's nothing there for them to feed on. So that's why I say a red bed would probably work for a good afternoon shield.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a great idea.
Okay.
Won't help this year's crop, but it will help you down the road.
Sure. Okay. We have at the nursery, we've got tomato fertilizers that work real well. And what I like about them is they have good trace elements in them, too.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of trace elements, I put some with my fertilizer in my yard. Now we got this deep, rich green color to the grass, even though the grass is kind of punk looking, because it took a hit from the crabgrass last year. I don't have any crabgrass this year to speak of.
What'd you do different?
I used crabgrass control.
That will work.
My yard is a laboratory. And I put some iron sulfate on my hollies and the boxwoods too, and it deepens the color on them. So they look almost this artificially dark green color is really kind of pretty, actually. So a little iron on the plants will, on holly species and on the grass, will deepen the color real well mm-hmm. without a lot of top growth. So the Southern Green Maker has that in it just automatically. However, one side effect is the sidewalks are just a little bit on the orange side, because we had about 20 buckets of rain after I put it down.
Yes.
And it caused a little bit of outwash on the sidewalk, which it takes a long time for that to go away, but it's not that big a deal. You see it all around the neighborhood. You can tell the green lawns have orange sidewalks and the pale ones don't, so.
Okay. That's one way to measure the fertility of at least the iron content of the soil. Look at the sidewalk, I guess.
The orange sidewalk.
800-749-5936. Locally, 918-336-1400. That's your key in through the garden hotline on Green Country Gardener, and we will continue with your phone calls coming up in just a bit.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-33.
When it comes to banking, it can be hard to find a place where you feel like more than just a number. At American Heritage Bank, we combine over 110 years of experience with the highest quality of customer service to give you an unparalleled banking experience. Stop by one of our convenient locations or visit us at ahb-ok.com to experience the difference. American Heritage Bank, member FDIC.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod experts, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. Growing up in Oklahoma, I had big dreams of becoming a successful country music singer. But I also knew the odds were against me and that I needed an education to fall back on. Studying never got in the way of my dreams. In fact, school gave me lots of opportunities I wouldn't have had otherwise with my career. Please stay in school and try your best. You never know where a good education might take you. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
The telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Larry Glass here to take your calls and answer your questions and, of course, provide some great tips on green lawns,
and colorful plants. Crabgrass.
Oh, getting rid of crabgrass as opposed to cultivating it. Okay,
even though you put it on a pre-emergent herbicide, you're still going to have a little bit of crabgrass here and there.
It's a control, not an eliminator.
Exactly. And at this point in time, you can use a spot application, quinclorac.
Quinclorac.
Okay. Clorac or Fertilone Weed Out with Crabgrass Killer works just fine too.
But okay.
Anyway, you want to control that before the crabgrass has a chance to get too mature. The quinclorac will effectively kill out the crabgrass, even though it's big and mature and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes more time. Right now would be a good time. We don't have any rain coming for quite some time.
Not on the foreseeable forecast anyway.
So it'll do a good job of controlling that. It takes a little while for it to work. It's a kind of a slow kind of a thing, but it will knock out what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got the ground floor opportunity to control do a post-emergent crabgrass control.
Uh-huh.
And the quinclorac doesn't make your other grass as sick as the MSMA would do it. Used to be you put down the MSMA and you think you killed your whole lawn, then all of a sudden the crabgrass is dead and the Bermuda grass comes out again.
Mm-hmm.
The MSMA is monosodium acid methanarcinate. And with a chemical like that, you can understand why they kind of try to get it off the market with arsenic. And
like I say, the arsenic portion of it there is undesirable for the consumer. I think you've said in the past, or I seem to remember right, wrong, or otherwise, that if you have crabgrass, that just by fertilizing the hound out of the rest of the yard, that it will choke out the crabgrass.
It does. It will eventually. It'll be a dominant species. So if you have real thin grass, ultimately the Bermuda grass will kind of choke it out. But it takes a while sometimes for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Crabgrass is an annual grass, and it will grow. It'll actually hover above the Bermuda grass.
Okay.
So either physical pulling it or spraying will get rid of that which is around the edge of the yard, where you do the edging and all that. That's it's an open opportunity, and it comes up along the edge and so on. And any flaw you have in your lawn also, it'll come out. Flaw meaning an open spot where it might have died off, or where that lightning bolt hit, killed it off. It would come up over there. So the quinclorac is a good post-emergent. And with the Fertilome Weed Out and Crabgrass Killer, it has a broadleaf weed killer integrated into it. It's also good for nutsedge.
Okay.
Nutsedge is a real problem. Nutsedge is not a grass.
No.
Or nutgrass, people call it.
Right.
It comes after you mow your grass, about an hour later, you got this grass that's just taller than the Bermuda. Well, it's not an hour. I'm just speaking figuratively.
Okay.
In a fairly short period of time, even the next day, you'll have the nutsedge is very evident. So this will take care of that, too. So that's kind of what we do with our crabgrass at this point. As far as your fertilizing, you should have done your May application already with on fertilizer, and it's getting time to do the June application of fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to emphasize a bit of nitrogen on that just to encourage some growth on it.
Okay.
And make sure the mower blade is good and sharp too.
Which is something that if you started mowing early this year, which many people did because the grasses were active, then you probably need that sharpening right now.
Sure you do.
Yeah.
So you take it off, and I use an angle grinder. Works really well. Especially that ninja blade. It's kind of hard to get in and out. It's one of those X-shaped blades with two different levels on it. It basically turns the grass clippings to powder. So it works very well. Leaves, too. Just turns it into what was your word we used back in the 60s? Smithereens.
Yes.
Yes. So anyway, that's kind of the deal on the crabgrass control at this point in time. Now, crepe myrtles, they're up and growing. They should be. We should be getting on some of the early blooming varieties. You should be seeing some differentiation.
Okay.
Differentiation happens when the day length gets such as it is and longer. And the tissues on the tip differentiate between producing leaves to producing flowers. It's kind of a hormone thing that changes that to happen, and the length of day is the primary stimulus behind that, and the onset of warmer weather is another factor. That both of those together will bring the onset of blooms. With the weather forecast such as it is, and after we've had some pretty good moisture, I think we're going to have a really good show on the crepe myrtles this year.
Good.
So if you haven't fertilized them, you might want to consider that too, a 10-20-10 or a tomato fertilizer or even a bulb fertilizer or something like that, a little phosphorus in it.
Okay.
The phosphorus typically brightens the color a little bit on the crepe myrtles. So you might want to don't turn them into a box of soap with them, but just give them a little supplement there and it'll help.
Yeah.
And the trace elements too, the iron and manganese and zinc and copper, boron, would help enhance the color as well. We have a caller?
We do have a caller. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today?
Yes, I just missed what you talked about, the nut sedge.
Oh, nut sedge. Yeah, the quinclorac works well to control that.
Oh, okay. Now, does that hurt tomatoes?
Yes.
So if you put it down in your lawn, it still could blow over to your tomatoes and make them die?
Right. Looking out the window over here, there's not much wind this morning. So if you do it in the morning hours or the evening hours when we don't have the wind, it generally won't cause much of a problem. But, yeah, tomatoes are extremely, extremely sensitive. I use the word extremely twice because they're twice as as susceptible to herbicides. So probably the best way around your tomatoes is physical pulling and using a lot of mulch at this point to control the weeds.
Okay, well, this I'm talking about my lawn.
Oh, okay, your lawn area.
That's the nut hedge. Is that the one that's like a stickleber, or which one are you talking about?
Yeah, the nut sedge has a leaf that looks similar to grass. It's lighter in color, and it grows quicker, and in cross-section, it's kind of V-shaped.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And it
started last year a little bit in the backyard. Now it's a big patch in the front yard.
Yeah, it spreads by subterranean stolen earth roots. They're not stolen, per se. It's I guess in the legal sense of the term, it would be a stolen air for a spread. But anyway,
but it spreads horizontally through the root.
Underground through the root. And if you pull it up, you're going to create more problems because the surviving root tends to divide and split and make more of them.
Oh, when you pull them up?
Yes.
That's what I've been doing.
So unless you get a shovel and loosen up the soil real good and get a lot of it out, it's really hard to get rid of it. It's kind of like a miniature form of bamboo or something. If
yeah, exactly.
It'll just come back and come back. So, but anyway, this quinclorac, or you can use the Fertilome Weed Out with Crabgrass Control killer in it, will do a pretty good job of controlling that. Now, we've got good weather coming on for that too, but on your tomatoes, if you use a high pressure spray, you might want to lower the pressure a little bit, or you could mask your spray.
Cover them, maybe?
What, the tomatoes? Yeah, in other words, physically separate them somehow. And one way is to get a tube, maybe a short piece of drain pipe or something, and then spray with it's kind of hard to visualize this on the air, but anyway, put the tube on the ground where the
nut sedge is.
Where the nut sedge is, and spray in the tube so the mist doesn't go out anywhere.
Oh.
So it's what you call masking, and let it sit for a second or two till the mist settles, and then you can move it to another location.
Just kind of
helps. Whatever it's called.
Quinclorac, yeah.
Okay. I also have, I have a bunch of weeds left in my front lawn because I was afraid to reapply because I'd already planted my tomatoes.
Yeah.
Does that do other broadleaf stuff?
Yeah, the Fertilome variety does both of that. And there are other formulations out there. You just kind of look at the label and tell you what it'll do. So if you've got a lot of weeds in your yard, you might have a fertilizer deficiency too. So.
Okay, well, I just fertilize because it's May.
Good for you. Good.
And my Bermuda grass came up really slowly this year.
Yes.
For all the, you know, the weeds had a really good chance to invade.
It was late this year, and I had some winter damage on mine, but it's coming back.
Yeah,
so.
Me too. Okay, so you have the...
Yeah, we've got some
thing you called.
Either
yeah.
that, or we have it in several manufacturers and formulations, but we've got it at the nursery.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Oh, what about what we used to call sticker burrs? I've got a lot of that, too.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's a broadleaf weed. So.
Oh, it is? So yeah, it would so, take care of that.
Yeah, take care of that, too. Yeah, one tip on Roundup, keep the Roundup away from your tomatoes.
Don't even say the word Roundup about around the tomatoes.
Yeah, you go to them and say Roundup, and they just kind of die. So,
yeah, I know.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think the idea
crepe myrtles is the same way.
Really?
Say the word Roundup around your crepe myrtles. They're very sensitive to Roundup.
Okay.
So you might want to. Choose a different method of weed control.
But your masking method, I can see how that would work because you're spraying just down the tube and it really minimizes the chance for it to go where you don't want it.
Yes, use the right word, minimize. If you use too high a concentration, then the vapors will get in there. So, mm-hmm. So that's what I say in a time like this when it's rather warm, use a lower pressure on your sprayer. Try not to use a hose end sprayer.
Okay.
Around your... Their tomatoes, because that will cause a drift, will cause a problem with their tomatoes. They're
sure.
very sensitive, yes.
800-749-5936 or locally 918-336-1400. Green Country Gardener will continue with your phone calls coming up.
Show off your home's curb appeal with quality products from Peter's True Value in Dewey. Like Scott's Turf Builder Fertilizer. Get 5,000 square feet of coverage for only $14.99 after a $2 mail-in rebate. Specially formulated for southern lawns, this fertilizer feeds and strengthens against heat and drought without burning. Plus, it's kid and pet friendly. Stock up on this bargain of the month while supplies last. Peter's True Value in Dewey. Limit 2 rebates per household. Consumer responsible for taxes and fees.
Springtime at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses means new hours, new shipment of plants, and discount Wednesdays. Green Thumb is now open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, and Sunday, noon to 5. And they are busy with new shipments of trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and herbs that are arriving each week. And during discount day every Wednesday, receive 10% off regular priced items. But only at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload. It's coming at me from all directions. And you know what? Bottom line, I just need the news that matters. So where do I turn? Local radio and TV. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town. They give me the real story with information I know I can rely on. So where else can I find out what's happening in my community? Weather and traffic, things that affect my family and my business. I want to stay informed by sources I trust, my local radio and TV stations, for the best entertainment, sports, news, traffic, and weather with no agenda and more reliable than other platforms. So if you ask me for the information I want anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local station. Text radio to 52886 today. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Or 918-336-1400. The telephone number is to get you on Green Country Gardener this morning. And we've got some open phone lines right now. Now would be a great time to get your question in for Larry Glass this morning.
In addition to the typical crepe myrtles that are out there, we have the ebony series of crepe myrtles.
Okay.
Ebony meaning the leaves on them are extraordinarily dark.
Hmm.
And golly, if you want something with purple leaves, say up against the White House or something, these would do great because you know crepe myrtles are very heat tolerant.
They are.
And you get the bonus of the flowers on them.
Sound like an interesting
plant. We have a caller.
We do. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. How can we help you out today?
Yes, I have some roses now. I've got almost all, they're all tea roses.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. It seems that several of them have come up as all red this year, as opposed to the colors they're supposed to be. Does that mean that they've,
they've stopped blooming above the graft.
Could be.
It's only coming.
Yeah, it sounds like a subgraft. It'll bloom for a brief period of time, fairly heavily, with the blooms closely associated to the stem. And
yeah.
And then you won't have any at all. So it sounds like you've got a sub.
Should I cut them all the way back or something?
Yeah, cut that. You go down beside the plant real close and see if you can find out from where it's coming and cut it at that point.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Marty, thank you for calling.
Yeah, interesting.
I see the subgrafting this year on roses, too. Hmm. Several houses. And really nice rose, pretty pink flowers on it. Then one shoot, 8 feet tall. What is that? Yeah, well, it's probably an invader from Mars, maybe.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, so some of that Martian fertilizer. But no, it was a subgraft.
Okay.
So you got to watch out for that. And a lot of times people aren't aware of that. They just cut it back thinking, oh, well, it's just growing crazy. Mm-hmm. Then it branches out and shades out the rest of the plant.
Yeah.
And then all you have is a subgraft.
So get it as low as physically possible.
Right. The leaves will look different on it, and the growth rate will look different, and the thorns will look different on it. So look at that. Check that out, too.
Because it is really a different rose underneath it.
Another problem people had this last winter was freeze out on their dwarf yaupon hollies.
Okay.
I had a little bit of that at my house, and it's been pretty much an endemic problem everywhere. And there was a house that we planted some about 3 years ago, and they didn't come out this spring.
Hmm.
So about 3 weeks ago, we said, well, we'll just cut them back,
mm-hmm.
and they'll come out again, you know, skeptical as they were.
Sure.
So we went back there yesterday. I had to trim back a Japanese maple. And sure enough, they were starting to come back. So the dwarf yaupon holly will survive a cold spell like that. You just have to give it some time to emerge. It has to sort of sit and think about what's happening.
What is going on?
What is going on here? My top is dead. So anyway, and it regenerated, and these are regenerating. And they will develop quickly because what we mentioned about the crepe myrtle is the top dying off.
Mm-hmm.
The root system is in there to feed all that on the top, so it'll make a very quick recovery.
Okay.
So the root system is very important. A good heavy root system is very important in establishing plants. And because the plant has already done that, it will recover quickly from winter damage.
Okay.
So trimming. What should I be trimming right now? Dogwoods, if you need to. Time to trim them back.
Okay.
Because in another month and a half, 2 months, they're going to be setting their blooms. So you want some growth on it mm-hmm. at this point. So it's a very critical time right now. If you do want to trim your dogwoods, to trim them back. Of course, you shouldn't have to trim them. You should plant them somewhere where that doesn't have to happen. So anyway, it's time for fertilizing and planting new ones.
Mm-hmm.
So make note of utilities, drainage patterns, very critical on dogwood trees.
Yes.
They don't like to be planted in drainage patterns per se. They will swamp out. So in their native habitat, the dogwoods typically grow in upper woodland areas where drainage is really good,
mm-hmm.
typically associated with oak trees and maybe some hardwood maples, not the red maples, but the sugar maples and oaks primarily is where they... The ecosystem in which they cohabit with these other plants.
Right.
So keep that in mind too. What they're engineered for is not swampland, but in association with big oak trees and so on. They do very well. So fertilizing too. A good time. Also, we have a caller. No, we don't.
No, not yet. But we have some open phone lines. If a caller would like to get in on the conversation.
Dogwoods, when you fertilize out away from the main trunk. Keep it away from the main trunk. Fertilizer is a salt,
mm-hmm.
and it will assault the plant, if you will.
So, I like that. That's a okay. I will try to remember that one.
So you want to make sure that you fertilize it away from the plant and be gentle with the dogwoods too, because they don't grow very much or very fast.
But again, fertilizing a tree in general, you want to put it out on the drip line anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Put it away from the drip line. That's where all these weird-looking people hang out, the drip line. Anyway.
Larry Glass, the punster, this morning.
Exactly.
800-749-5936. We'll give him this two-minute break to recover and take your phone calls on the other side in just a moment.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
The Bartlesville Area Farmers Market is back, better than ever, with new hours, 5 to noon on Saturdays. There's plenty of things to see and do, as the Bartlesville Area Farmers Market is a full-service farmers market. There'll be plenty of local fresh produce, but as a full-service farmers market, you get more. Honey products from Local Honey, creamed honey, and jellies and jams, essential oils, and three bakery vendors with their specialty breads, rolls, and scones. Take home beautiful fresh-cut flowers, herbs, and local fresh mushrooms, too. Get your beef and pork for grilling in the summer. Check out the local made crafts and so much more. The area's farmers market is back at the Frank Phillips Park by the Chamber. So mark it on your calendar for Saturdays for the Bartlesville Area Farmers Market. Come out and buy the farmers market products. Sit down and listen to local entertainers play music. See you at the farmers market Saturdays.
We all make promises. Big and small.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear
to help you when you're in need.
To be considerate and caring. To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
Colleague.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
Champagne. 800-749-5936, the telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. And we did get a caller over the break. Good morning. You're on the air with Larry Glass. Go ahead, please. Good morning,
yes.
Caller. Yeah.
Hey, with Larry, looking at azaleas and atlas pine trees or fir trees,
right.
What should the number be on the fertilizer to use on those plants?
Okay, azaleas like a fairly even ratio fertilizer and some with some magnesium sulfate in it. An acidifying type fertilizer for azaleas. Typically our soil pH is a little high for them. So just on the label, an azalea type fertilizer would be fine. And on the blue atlas cedar, be careful not to over-fertilize that. Just maybe a little bit of the azalea fertilizer, but not a whole lot.
So we're really not looking at a number. We're looking at the word azalea-type fertilizer.
Right, at the type. An acidifying-type fertilizer, specifically for the azaleas and the atlas cedar, just about anything, really. But just while you got it out, you might as well put some of that on it, too.
Okay.
It wouldn't hurt it. So.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, it's more keeping the pH in the range the azalea likes, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And the blue atlas cedar is variable in its requirements, too. So, but the azalea is very much more specific in its requirements than, say, a blue atlas cedar or a boxwood, mm-hmm. for that matter.
If you're looking at numbers, if he has a choice, and I don't know that he will, but still we want to see something that'll bring out some blooms, some a little bit of phosphorus in there. Is that right?
For the azalea?
Yeah.
You want to really encourage a lot of root growth on it and some good stem strength on the azaleas and so on. So
good,
yeah.
Good morning,
not too
caller.
Much nitrogen.
Yeah. Good morning, caller. You're on with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today?
Good morning.
Morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I've got a pine tree, and every year it looks worse and worse. I'm getting more dead branches on it.
I've noticed that with a lot of them around, yes.
It seems like I say, every year it gets worse and worse, and
uh-huh.
the pine cones are kind of shriveled up and dull, and the color's real dull on it.
Got a decline in the pine trees. A lot of times that's a mineral deficiency in the soil.
Okay.
So use that what I mentioned earlier, the Southern Greenmaker has trace elements in it, such as iron and zinc and all that, and that should help it along. A lot of times we get some needle blight on the pine trees. Look at the needles real closely and look for a brown splotch on the needle surrounded by a little bit of yellow on both sides, And that's
What I've got. Okay. That's exactly what I've got.
Got some needle blight. So then, on that case, some daconil or copper sulfate on that to try to stop that. Now, the best time to control that is typically before the needles emerge in the spring, and then again in October. So you're running a little bit late, but you can at least arrest any spread of it at this point in time.
All righty.
And then come back and give it a good dose in October?
Yes.
Okay, it sounds great, guys. I really appreciate your show.
Okay, and then what I mentioned about the fertilizer will help the general overall health of the plant. The healthier the tree is, the more resistant it's going to be to that.
Okay, sounds super.
All right, thank you
so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, and I think we've got time for one more. Good morning. You are on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you this morning?
Good morning. I have a huge outbreak of poiana in my lawn.
Ooh.
And I know there's nothing probably I can do about it. I was just planning on letting it die out and maybe trying to some pre-emergent. But what type of pre-emergent would you recommend in the fall?
In the fall, you'd want to use just any good lawn pre-emergent herbicide. It'll work real well on it. The Baylan Treflan mix, crabgrass control won't stop it completely, but it'll control it. We had a real bad outbreak of it this year for some odd reason. But anyway, use a pre-emergent in the fall, and that should do a lot to control it.
If it works on crabgrass, it'll work on that, right?
Yeah, the mechanics of it are similar between poa annua and crabgrass, so it should work okay.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. You still there?
Yes.
Prodiamine, too, will work also on that.
Sorry, what was that?
Prodiamine. Uh-huh, in the fall. That does a lot to control that and other weeds as well.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, now.
Thank you very much. And we got just about enough time to highlight something from the nursery here.
Yeah, we've got, like I said earlier, memorial pots. And for some good color, we got all kinds of flowering plants and hanging baskets galore. So check it out. We got a good selection, plus a fresh truckload of mulch.
All right. That's Green Country Gardener.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville and K227CQ Bartlesville.